Good morning. What a thrill it is and what a joy we have to be able to study the Bible together. And we're thankful to God that we still have the freedom in this country to be able to study the Bible in such a public way. And we're thankful to God that we have the means and we have the avenue to be able to do so. So we're glad that you're with us this morning. We hope that your day is going well. And I know that as we open the Bible, if we believe what we're seeing in the Scriptures and we put these things into practice in our lives, then our lives are going to be blessed by God. Yes, we're going to have tribulation in this life. Jesus said, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now our Lord that died for us left His word behind, and He wants us to study that word. He wants us to be good students of His Word, and He doesn't just want us to read it. He doesn't just want us to talk about it. He wants us to have it in our hearts and to believe it with all of our hearts and to put it into practice and obey His will in our lives. Now, we've come today to a story in Luke chapter 7. Let me encourage you right now to open your Bible to Luke chapter 7, and we're going to begin reading in verse 36 today. Now, this is a long section. It's a story that's a well-known story. And we're going to read down through verse 50, through the rest of the chapter, Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Now, that's a somewhat longer section than what we usually look at. But again, this is a story, and I don't want to leave out anything in that story. So we're talking today about a story concerning a sinful woman. And this sinful woman is going to meet up with Jesus Christ here. And there are some great lessons that we learn from this encounter. We see that this is a lesson in God's mercy. And so many times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see Jesus being the compassionate Savior. We see Him having mercy and giving grace to people that are around Him, sometimes people that others didn't expect to receive that mercy. So this is a lesson in God's goodness and in His love for mankind, and especially towards sinners. But at the same time, this is also a lesson in godly sorrow and in repentance. Sometimes people look at the subject of God's forgiveness, and they just assume that God is going to forgive regardless of what we do or what we don't do, that it has nothing to do with our response. And yet the Bible shows from beginning to end that God's mercy is dependent upon our repentance. And so we're going to see a very penitent woman here in Luke chapter 7. And also, we're going to find that this is a great lesson about appreciation. It's a great lesson in gratitude and being thankful to God, especially being thankful to God for His mercy toward our sins. And finally, it's a great lesson about how we look at other people, because sometimes we misjudge people. Sometimes we're too hard on people. Sometimes we are not just in how we assess other people and their lives. So let's begin today in this great lesson in Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired Him that He would eat with him. And He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at His feet behind Him weeping, and began to wash His feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed His feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden Him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgives sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, where is Jesus at when this happens? The Bible says that he is in the house of a Pharisee named Simon. Now, remember that because the Simon here in this story is not Simon Peter the Apostle. Now, we know that because the Bible says in verse 36, one of the Pharisees invited him to come and to eat with him in his house. And then down there in verse 44, notice that he says to Simon, I entered into your house and you didn't give me water for my feet. You didn't wash my feet. So remember here that this is a Pharisee named Simon, and he has some thoughts about what's taking place here. Well, the Bible says that as they're sitting down to this meal, this woman comes in. And she begins to, as the Bible says, wash Jesus' feet with her tears. So she's crying here. She is expressing godly sorrow, and she anoints his feet with ointment that she's brought in this alabaster box. Now again, the Bible does not tell us her name. The Bible does not say she's Mary Magdalene. The important point to remember is that she is a sinful woman. When you talk about Mary Magdalene, the Bible says that Jesus cast 7 demons out of her, but this is a different situation here. This is a woman who has the reputation of being a sinner. Now the interesting thing that you need to keep in mind here is that when people thought something around Jesus Christ, he knew what they were thinking. He didn't have to guess. You know, sometimes you can have an idea as to what somebody is thinking about because of the way that they look, because of something that they said, because of their reaction, but oftentimes we just can't tell. But Jesus always knew. And he knows what this man, Simon the Pharisee, is thinking. And what was the thought that was going through Simon's head? Well, he says in verse 39, Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him or invited him saw it, he spake within himself. So he doesn't say this out loud. He doesn't say where everybody can hear it, especially Jesus. Well, if this man was a prophet, he would have known what kind of woman she is. He's thinking it inside. And this is a great reminder, folks, that God knows what we're thinking every second of the day. God knows what you're thinking right now. God knows every thought that is going through your heart. Now, that is something that ought to cause us to humble ourselves before God. There's nothing that we can hide from God. There's nothing that we can do or say that we can hide from God. And there's not even one thought, there's not even one wish in our minds that we can contemplate that God doesn't know. So that ought to cause us to realize the kind of God that we serve. God sees everything. And the sad thing was, in Jesus' day, there were people that did not believe that about Jesus. They didn't recognize that, or they did not accept the fact that Jesus could see right through him. And some of them had little enough sense to think that they could fool Jesus Christ. Well, that couldn't be done. Because not only did he know them inside and out, he knew everything they were thinking when they came to him. Now, I'm not saying this man is trying to fool him, but he's not thinking about the fact that Jesus Christ knows what is in his heart. So he's thinking to himself, why, he's not a prophet. If he was really a prophet, he would know what kind of woman she is. And she's actually touching him. We see these Pharisees oftentimes tried to pretend to be more righteous than they really were. And so the Bible says that Jesus tells him a story here. He gives him an illustration to make the point. He says in verse 41 that there was a creditor. He had two people that owed him. The one person owed him 500 pence, the King James says, or denarii, and the other owed him 50. And then the Bible says in verse 42 that the man who had loaned both of them the money just forgave their debt. He just basically wiped that debt off of the records. And so Jesus' question is simple. Jesus said, now which one of those two men do you think will love that man the most? Which one do you think will appreciate the debt that has been forgiven the most? And Simon quickly answered, he said, well, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. The one that had owed him 500 pence is going to appreciate him and love him more than the man that was forgiven of only 50. So Jesus said, you're right. You have rightly judged. So beginning in verse 44, Jesus makes the application. He says, now that's the illustration. Now here's the lesson that I want you to get. He said, do you see this woman? I came into your house, but you gave me no water for my feet. Now it was customary back in those days that when you were visiting with somebody, that one of the things they would do to be hospitable would be to wash your feet. But he said, you didn't do that. This woman, on the other hand, she's washing my feet with her tears. He said, you didn't even give me a kiss. Now, again, back in those days, it was customary to greet somebody with what was called in the New Testament also a holy kiss. Now, this was done between men as well as between women. So it was something that was perfectly innocent. It was something that was perfectly pure. But he said, you didn't do that, but this woman is kissing my feet. He said, you did not put any ointment on my head. But he says, this woman is anointing my feet with ointment. So in verse 47, Jesus said, here's the lesson. Her sins, which are many. So Jesus did not deny that she was a sinner. He said, yes, she is guilty of many sins, but she is forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And I have noticed through the years, and I have heard other people say the same thing, that sometimes when you've got somebody who has lived a very sinful life, and then that person is baptized, when that person is forgiven of his sins, that very person can be more faithful and more loyal to God and more committed to Christ than people who have been raised up in the church and been taught the Bible from the time that they were young. I've noticed also that sometimes when you've got somebody who has been raised in and has been in a false religion for most of their life, and then they find the truth and they obey that truth, they have more appreciation for the truth than people who have been taught the truth from the time that they were young. That's what Jesus is talking about here when he says, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And if you want to see a great example of this in the New Testament, just read about Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16, where he says that he was the chief of sinners, but he talks about his gratitude and his thankfulness to God. Paul was forgiven of much, and he ended up loving God much. Well, thank you for tuning in today. I hope that you'll have time to go back and read this story again. It's a great story in forgiveness from the book of Luke. Thank you for listening today, and have a wonderful rest of the day.